with us this morning, and we're going to give a little shout to God in celebration that this pastor in God's house has escaped death. Yeah! Hallelujah. Welcome and tell us what you know, Pastor. Well, there you go.
Hallelujah.
Easy to use, because that way you don't have to raise your voice too much and all those kinds of things. If you'll be on this side, that's what I'm going to be looking. Yep. And so I made this decision today, asking the Lord to help me. I just was saying, but wasn't really sure that I could stand and do some of the things I need to do. I thought, well, after a while, it's just long enough. It's long enough to be gone, and it's time to be back. Now, if you get tired, which I doubt, you can get somebody else to come and take your place. We do that kind of thing here. This is not a sermon, but it's something you really do need to hear. And it's something that I really do need to share with you, because I'm sure that many of you might be wondering, where's the person coming from after they go through the kind of thing that I went through for the past, it's been about 6 weeks now. Now, thank you, I prefer preaching without music, thank you. I was on television one time, and the person in charge of the show said, "Now while you're teaching, shall we play music in the background?" I said, "I can't even relate to that." Teaching is teaching, right? And so anyway, as I'm thinking about the times that God teaches us, there's a scripture that says, "Who teaches like thee?" Nobody teaches like God. We try to teach each other, and we go to great extent to hear what we think are the best teachers. But nobody teaches like God. The reason is we say things that are untimely, that people are not ready for, that we don't know much about, because we haven't been there and done that yet. But I want to know, coming from a place where I've bought the T-shirt, I do have some things that I want to share with us this morning that I would be negligent if I did not share. It's something else, you know, when you're on a gurney and doctors are talking about you and you can hear some of what they're saying and you want to say to them, "Oh, you didn't mean to say that." And one of them said, "She swallows well." And I thought, well, that's encouraging. I swallow well. Seemed like I heard all kinds of things that didn't make any difference. But I knew that I was in some kind of place that was a place that if you didn't have God there with you, you wouldn't want to be there. You know, I have a message coming up, God's part in our suffering. I want you to know right now, God doesn't leave you because you're suffering. And he's not a charismatic God who thinks you're not supposed to suffer. Else he told Peter, He told Paul they were going to suffer some great things. But we've been confused about that, and there will be suffering as a part of it, and sickness is one of the sufferings. But God has his part, that he's already promised what he will do in those times. And there will be the times that we need him so very much. So I just wanted to, I think I kind of wanted to call what I'm sharing with you today, sitting beside God for a while. I think a lot of our prayer times, we're just sort of sitting by ourselves and hope God gets it. But when you know you're sitting by God and he's got to take care of you, he's got to come through for you, you've got to hear from him. If you're ever going to hear from God, it'll be times of tragedy and chaos and difficult situations, because most of the time we're talking too much, so much that we really can't hear from God. And so as I opened my heart, which is what listening really is, I opened my heart to God, because there's no place else to go with your heart when you're desperate. And you not only say a few words to God. I've had people turn to me at times, critical times, and say, how should we pray now? I don't even think like that, you know. We thought our plane was going down in India one time, and this doctor was sitting beside me, and he said, how should we pray now? I said, pray the plane won't crash. And so when you get desperately attacked, oh, what a thoughtful thing for you to do.
I'm distracting.
You're distracting the people
that are worried
about you.
That won't fit on. Don't worry about me. I got it. That won't fit on that scene.
Well, let Will do it if you're concerned. Will can do anything.
Well, he pretty much can.
So, Will, you can take her place when she gets tired. Yeah, because I'm concerned about her, too. And so what I did was I opened my heart. That's how we start to listen to God. And I kept it open. And I wanted to hear what God had to say. You know, there's a thing where we say, Lord, I want to hear from you. But we really just want to hear certain things. And then there's a time where, God, if you don't speak to me, I'm a goner. I've got to hear what you have to say. I've got to line up with it. If there's something you want to direct me in, I want to hear that direction. I want to walk in it. That's when you're really listening to God. And so the Lord said he didn't line it out like I lined it out for you so you'd remember it today, because he knew I'd remember it at the time because of what I was going through. He said, I want to talk to you about your purpose, and I want to talk to you about obedience, and I want to talk to you about doing everything without pride. And so this won't take very long, but I think it's going to find a place with you that'll have the power to redirect some things in your life. And you'll be relieved, and you'll be saying, I've wanted somebody to talk to me about that. And concerning purpose. I talk about this a lot because I don't think we'll get anywhere in life if we don't know what our purpose is. And we won't give ourselves to it. And we'll always feel like we're not measuring up because we don't know exactly what our measure was.
Right.
I'm so glad that I do measure up with God.
Thank you.
I know that I measure up with God because I know what it is I'm supposed to do. I am not supposed to be better than other people. I'm not supposed to prove anything. I'm not supposed to be great. My pastor, Judson Cornwall, who's gone to be with the Lord, said to him, I've called you to be my little teacher. Now, most people don't want to hear that. I called you to be my great teacher. None like the world has ever known before. But he meant by that he would keep him humble. And if God will keep you humble, you can do anything. But if he doesn't, you can't do much. And you may end up destroying yourself. So So he first of all talked to me about purpose, because I was saying, Lord, I want to do everything you want me to do. I figure if the Lord brings me through hard things, it's because he's got some more hard things he wants to take me through next. So this thing he was bringing me through, I had just started. The intensity, of course, lasted about a week. And he began to speak to me about purpose. And he reminded me of the scripture where the Ethiopian eunuch, which Siri thinks is spelled U-N-I-C-K. But then Siri's not saved. You need to pray for him. The Ethiopian eunuch, do you remember him? And the scripture says that he arose and went. And boy, you know, I really can't read this. Does anybody have any reading glasses?
And behold, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come and sit with him.
So Philip went, and he explained the scripture, and it was about Jesus coming as a lamb to the slaughter. Now the problem is, so many people today wouldn't think about asking the Lord to send someone to help them understand the scripture. They're going to follow after the one that says the thing that they like to hear the most. Or they go the one that they think is most attractive. Or the one that follows their denomination. But the fact is, we do not have it within us to understand the scripture without a teacher, without the Holy Spirit, without laying hold on the Word of God by the way that God has provided. We haven't always known this. You know, when the Lord called us into ministry, it was 1973. Well, that's about 46 years ago now. That's quite a while ago. The reason that he called us into ministry was that there was a negative miracle that was happening in so many pulpits in that day, is that people were preaching, but they were never telling you how to get saved, how to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, how to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, how to get hold of the power of God. They were saying some things, but nobody was helping anybody understand it. See, this is very important, that you get where someone can help you understand the scripture. Now, how does it happen that some people understand the scripture and know how to help you understand it? It's called a calling. It comes by the power of the anointing. God gives it. And God himself calls out certain people to do this and to preach this word and to make it clear to people. And when people can really understand the word under the anointing, then they can apply it and their lives can change and they can become powerful in the things of God. You know, that's a really wonderful truth. Over in 1 Corinthians, it says that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. And so I'm lying there in that hospital and I'm thinking, okay, so I think I'm supposed to hear that since I'm one of the people that you call to do this, then you want me to be obedient and simply continue to do that. It's not a big deal, you know. It's to continue to be obedient to what God has called you to do. I was serious when I asked if anybody had my reading glasses. So if somebody can come up with yours and they're reasonable, just bring them to me, because this is just slightly. You won't believe this, but there's one little pill that I take, and it's natural. And someone told me about it, and it will improve your vision just a little bit. And so I haven't taken that for 7 weeks because I've been a little bit out of commission. And believe it or not, it has affected my eyes just that much that I lost that little bit of focus. I don't know why you had to go outside first, but it's okay. Oh, my purse is in the car. I got it. Okay. I just feel that there's some little points that I don't want to miss because the Lord gave these to me. And I feel that He wants me to share them with you. So imagine you're asking the Lord what He wants you to do. What does He have to say to you about what you are doing? I know what He wants me to do. But what do you have to say about that? Because from time to time, I really do need to hear from God. Do you? And I feel that if I don't get fresh direction and hear a fresh word from God, then I'm not going to be able to hit the bullseye, to really hit the mark of where He wants me to go and what He wants me to do. So He led me to the part about the Ethiopian eunuch. How many people know what a eunuch is? A eunuch is someone who has been castrated and who, for the very reason that he worked for the queen in this case, but they work for people and they have to be trusted. So they want to make sure that they won't do anything untrustworthy. And so when I ask the Lord what He wants me to do, I'm not real excited that He first wants to teach me about a eunuch. You understand? Thank you. That's great. These are even mine. That helps a lot, doesn't it? Yeah. So then He said to me, I've called you to teach My word, to preach it, to write it, and to establish it. And I want you to dig your heels in and do it. I said, it is hard to dig my heels in from where I lie. He talked to me a bit about obedience. And He said to me, keep teaching, keep writing, keep serving those who need understanding. You know, there's pastors and a lot of people out there, some of you don't even know, places where I have ministered, that I still minister to these people on a regular basis. Because that's part of the ministry that God gave me. And I think I've written 9 or 10 books. I forget exactly. But there was a man who came here to the sanctuary. He was John Jimenez's pastor. He came here to the sanctuary and he was visiting. And he said to the man with him, I want to meet the pastor of this church. I have a word for her. And so they arranged for him to meet me. And so the end of that word that he had for me was, print the word. And he said it 8 times. Print the word, print the word, print the word, print the word. I had no interest in that whatsoever at the time. But prophetic words give you your preferable future that God has in mind for you. And so shortly after that, I wrote Kingdom Principles, and then I began to write other books that had to do with prayer and whatever it was that God was teaching me at that particular time. You see, when you write something down, it has a life that continues on and on. If you can write something that is a classic somewhere along the way, that means they'll keep on reprinting it. And people will keep on buying it. They won't stop buying it because it just fits that niche that enough people need. And the Praying Church is one that's like this. And the reason the Praying Church turned out to be that way is because churches were hardly praying at all. So many were not praying at that time. And because through a Holy Ghost revival, God brought us into prayer, the Lord said, now write this vision down and put it so that pastors and others can read this book and then they can become praying churches. So it's been printed in a number of languages. It's been reprinted numerous times. If I hadn't written that, how different might it be in many places? Jane said that somebody called her the other day about one of my books. A pastor called and said, well, why can't you just come up here and teach this book to our church? She's a little bit indisposed just right this minute. But that's what happens, is when people, they get a taste for it, and then they want to understand more about it. So that was just, I'm sharing with you just some of the richness of what the Lord shared with me. Keep teaching, keep writing, keep serving those who need understanding. I've called you to cause people to understand, and he pointed out three things especially: prayer, worship, and revival. You know, the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Notice they didn't say, teach us how to pray. And what churches need today is to be taught to pray. And the Lord said, that's the first thing I want you to teach people, to pray. And I want you to demonstrate it. You may not feel like it yourself sometime. Your congregation may not feel like it sometime. But nevertheless, I've called you, and I'm going to take you through a revival that'll put you into another place and anoint you, that you'll be able to dig out a well that nobody can snuff out. Thank God. And so he said to me, they will not understand unless I send someone to teach them. Now, there are the people that teach prayer and revival and worship, but I am among the people. For example, my pastor, Judson Cornwall, one of my mentors, Fuchsia Pickett, they were called to lead people into worship or into prayer, some of these things. God wants people to really know him. Now, he didn't issue a fresh call about the time we came in ministry, because he thought it'd be novel to have people teach on some of these old-fashioned things. But he did it because he thought it'd be wonderful for people to have a fresh drawing to himself, to have a fresh relationship with him. Prayer and revival and worship are about knowing God, having a relationship with him, fellowshipping with him. And so that's what I guess if you could say it this way, it seemed that God had a renewed desire to draw people back to himself. God wants people to really know him. In relationship, we pray and worship. Through revival, the whole world's eyes will be open to his power. He's called his church to be alive to him. So we've got to keep training and embracing those who are hungry for him. Well, it started out with my hearing his call, but it spread to a lot of you who also have taken up the responsibility to share these with others. And the third thing that he gave me some understanding that I hadn't had before was be very careful to avoid the deception of pride. Because the more God gives us, the more opportunity we have to be proud. You won't be very proud of some little thing you can do. Well, you might. But it's really the things that God gives are so valuable. So it's very easy for people to keep telling you that it's so wonderful that you helped them understand this and that. After a while, the enemy will jump up on your shoulder and say, see, that's who you are. Like Bob Mumford said, he was preaching one night, and people were so touched to God, and they came forward, and they repented. And he said the devil jumped up on his shoulder and said, Bob, tonight the way you caught the people up and the way you ministered to them and won them over, that's the real you, Bob. That's really you. It's so great that you're talented and gifted like this. He said the next night, he didn't know what he did wrong, but it just fell flat. And he said he was leaving that night, and an angel jumped up on the other shoulder and said, Bob, tonight, this was the real you.
Amen. That's real right there.
The devil is actually so ridiculous that when you finally do something right, he says to you, now this is who you really are. Exactly. The fact is, when we finally do something right, God got through and we got out of the way. But it's very easy to be proud. Hello? You think it was easy for Lucifer? It's who he was. He was a proud archangel. Proud. And he lost his place in heaven. And he drew others out with him. By the way, proud people always draw other people with them. This is a fact. So, in Daniel 4, I want to show you a picture of pride and how it destroys people. Verse 30, the king spoke and said, I'm sorry, I took your job. Are you okay? All right. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? This is the great Babylon that I built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power. I wonder where we think we get this power. If you notice, your parents don't have it. Your grandparents don't have it. All of a sudden, you think you're supernatural and wonderful, and you've got all this stuff. No, you don't have it. God either gives it to you or you don't. I'm just so glad God let me do some little something in his kingdom. And for the honor of my majesty. Well, he doesn't mind telling you that he'd like to have his own majesty. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou shalt know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Put that a little closer to me. And he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. So we used to say we learned these things in Bible school. Sometimes we'd say when we sense the pride in people, do I see your claws growing? Is your back wet with the dew? See, this is what happens to prideful people. They get thrown out with the beast because it's beastly to be proud. It's beastly to take what God's done for you as if you've done it yourself. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me. Thank God. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Would you grab page? And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will to the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned to me. And my counselors and my lords brought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, an excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Now I don't know about you, but I consider all that together a pretty heavy word. I have something to say, well, that gives me direction, it gives me clarity, it causes me to seek purity of heart. It causes me to fear pride when God ministers it to you. When somebody else tells it to you, I know Ed Miller, you know, he was a revivalist. And we were in the middle of revival. I didn't know what he was talking about. This was 1980. He said, now, do you think that you'll be humble enough that you'll be able to walk in this truth? Or will you yield it up to something that's still lurking inside yourself? Sort of a threat, you know. I said, well, I kind of thought that being a pastor of a church might be what was going to keep me humble. It helps a lot, let me just tell you. No extra charge, it helps a lot, because you got somebody, you got people coming along telling you you're wonderful, and before you can get to the end of the road, you know, some backbiter has already nibbled off those wings that you grew. And it's very hard to maintain that stance. Nevertheless, you will fight for that pride because it makes you feel so good. And even worship. Worship is wonderful. If any of you ever been worshipped, say maybe by a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, anybody who'd never been worshipped. Lord, open these people's eyes. Well, nevertheless, some people will put you up on a pedestal where you don't belong sometimes and make you think you're somebody you're not. Hey, I've had people do it to me, and I've had people try to do it to me. And they don't mean any harm in their heart of hearts. They just think it's wonderful what God's letting you do, and they think it's you. They don't really know the difference. It's too bad, isn't it? But I feel that the Lord wants us to master these things in these ears, because He's getting ready to pour out some wonderful things on us, and He doesn't want us to lose them. And He doesn't want us to sabotage what it is that He's called us to. He wants us to grow in grace and to continue to lay hold on the truth. So I want to thank God today for all the things that He's done for me in the past 7 weeks, and how He has greatly strengthened me. And I was so glad to come back today, and I said, now I know how a heathen feels. 7 days without God makes 1 week. That's what I know today. Well, you know, of course, I watched Jensen Franklin and some of the others that I respect every Sunday. But the tea with Elliot would always tear up, or something would happen, and the devil's got more demons. But I did enjoy those that reached out through the media some way like that, and I would listen to tapes. But it's not the same. I don't care what people say. It's not the same as being here and worshiping with the saints. Not the same as sitting under the anointing and seeing what God is doing in their midst. So I'm so thankful to God that I could be back today, that I could have the strength to do the thing that I have done, because I very much want to do it. Some people thought that it might be too soon, but then I thought, when people look deep in my eyes, they saw that I might kill them if they didn't let me come back. So I appreciate that release. And I've asked Jane if she would share her thoughts too before we close. And then, Jane, before we leave today, though, I'm going to ask you, please ask the congregation on my birthday for the people to pray for me, and let the leaders of the church lay their hands on me. That's the first reason that I wanted to come back today. Amen.
Now, thank you, Lord. While you're sitting up here, let's just pray and lay our hands on her.
All right.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord.
I love you. Thank you, Lord. You're goodness. Mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. You're the God of all flesh. There's nothing too hard for you. You're the one who set us in the places you want us to be. You're the one who strengthened us to the things that you've given us to do. But Lord, above everything else, you're the one we love. And I thank you, Lord, for the drawing of your Holy Spirit on Sue Curran's heart. I thank you that the drawing of your Spirit is a precious thing. And we give you praise that you would draw, that you would bring her where you want her to be, that you would breathe into her your Spirit of life. And Lord, we pray for a fresh infilling and a baptism of love and life over her. In Jesus' name, we thank you for continuing to strengthen her and heal her. And Lord, we watched the weakness come over a whole long space of time. And we ask you to restore to her the strength that went out of her over the last year. We pray that there'll be a restoration, the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. We ask you for restoration. We ask you, Lord, for strengthening. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
Lord, we're so grateful, and I
feel like
birthdays are even special to you.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, on her birthday, she has come into this house that she loves so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray, oh God, that this birthday will be pivotal.
Yes.
And that her healing will accelerate.
Yes,
and
we
that
ask
what
you.
What you want her to do will be totally clear to her.
Yes.
The writing, the teaching, the mentoring, the whole ball of wax.
Oh, Father, all
that
your ways.
You have gifted her for. I pray,
yes.
Oh God, that there will be a.
Stir it up,
said,
Lord.
I know you. You have a little bit of faith, and you have not denied my name. Therefore, I will open a door to you.
Come on, Judy.
Lord, I pray you'll open a door
to Sue,
and she'll walk into it and do exactly what you want her to
do
and accomplish everything that you have in your
heart
for her. Lord, I love the way you're pouring
out
your revelation and your understanding and your love
care.
On her, and I pray you will accelerate
life
and bring her into
life
a brand
forevermore.
New place in
your
and we ask it in your precious name. Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, we make our declaration.
I hear the Lord saying hallelujah, daughter. I'm taking you this season, surely, to a. I am the capstone, but I'm taking you into the capstone. Things are not yet finished.
Mm-hmm.
As I've taken many of those who I consider precious to me to the heights to see the broadness of my heart and my kingdom and the things I've done. The Lord says it's that season of time when you shall enact certain finishing touches on things, and it's a season, it's not a few days,
mm-hmm.
it's a season of finishing,
Amen.
Said
yes,
the Spirit
Lord.
Of God, and I will raise you up, and am raising you up. Well, I brought you low for this season ahead, Amen. That you will walk in a depth of humility and understanding and insight and foresight. My very eyes will open in you, and you will see through my eyes, and you will see the hand of the Father, and you'll see the moving of the Spirit, and you'll see it not only in the things that are in the fourth dimension, but you'll see it begin to manifest in the earth. You will behold it. You'll see it. You'll see it coming from afar. So thus saith the Spirit of life, resurrection life, I abide in you, and I am now raising
you
up.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
To be a testimony. And I sense there's yet a scroll and a pen. I sense there's one more book. There's another book. It's a capstone book. It's a finishing book. And it's a book about the journey from the beginning to the end of the assignment and to the end of the purpose of God and the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God in your life and in your work and in your faithfulness. God bless you, daughter of Zion, for your love for me is great and my love for you is greater.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Could I just say this, Jane?
Yes, ma'am.
Jane had told me that we have a couple of new couples in the church that that have already been prophesying in the house, and I suppose this would be one of the couples, is that so?
Steve.
Yes, he did prophesy.
Your last name, Steve, is?
Bundra. Steve Bundra.
Okay. And is there another?
Robert is here. Robert Smith.
Where's Robert?
Robert is from Dave Miner's World.
Oh, yeah? Welcome, Robert. God bless you. So I preached at his church in upstate New York.
Okay, Robert, you want to roll up here?
I'm glad I said that and opened that up.
I was getting ready to ask you. I was getting ready to ask you. I was trying to get your eye.
You probably don't remember me, but I know you.
Oh, I do. I came and preached for you.
Yes, you did.
They told me I did.
Yes.
Yes.
Daughter, you're at a place in your life, it's a new season. And God's going to begin to talk to you in the midnight hour.
Thank you, Father.
You're going to know
Thank
how
you,
to set things in order
Thank you, Father.
For the future.
Yeah.
Thank you.
God's already been dealing with you. He's already been talking to you. You just didn't know how. Mm-hmm. You didn't know who.
Yeah.
Now God's going to begin to show you. It's going to be very plain.
Yes.
God's well pleased.
Thank you, Lord.
But thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Revision. Revision. God says, I gave you part of the vision, but I didn't give you the whole.
Whoa.
Good.
And now God's going to begin to illuminate.
Amen.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
He's going to begin to show the completion of what he wants to do.
Good Lord.
You've had God's favor. Mm-hmm. You've seen miracle after miracle. But thus saith the Lord, the miracles are just beginning.
Thank you,
He's
Lord.
Given miracles for the I don't know anything, please understand. Yeah. But I see he's given miracles for the property. Mm-hmm. He's given a big vision.
Yeah.
And the enemy did not like it.
No.
And there was opposition, but it wasn't just with the enemy. I see some Jezebels that have caused some big problems. And the enemy has tried to destroy. But God says, I'm not done. I'm not done. And you're going to see more of physical miracles in the days to come. You're going to see the mighty. It's almost going to be like in the days of Allen, and where physical miracles are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to get the attention to hungry people.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
But you're the one that God is going to begin to move inside of you for the order of things to come. Revision. Revision is the word to you. Revision. Don't worry about God equipping you to do everything. No, God says, I'm going to add to you. And I'm going to add those to you that are trustworthy, that you'll know the hearts. And the order will come, and then the visitation will come. And you will be thrilled as you set the order. Something will begin to leap inside of you, and you'll know, this is right. It didn't make sense before. I didn't see it before, but I see it now. And God says it's going to come to completion. This is not your house. This is my house, saith the Lord. You've had it for a season, and now it's time to set the order. God bless you.
Thank you.
It's good to be here.
Thank you.
I'm here. You see my eyes? I am here. God sent me here, and he told me to be a support.
All right. I'm happy for that. Let me just add one thing about these two prophetic people.
You know, there's all kinds of prophetic things that are happening.
Absolutely.
But men such as you have heard from have deep roots in the reality that I know as a true prophetic, that people buy the truth and sell it not. And so we're thankful for both of you guys.
Yes.
And any others that the Lord wants to send us. Amen.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Somewhere I had a Bible. Oh, there it is. And I'll just bring us to some. Hallelujah. When the Lord gives vision, he gives faith. There's faith in that vision. And when there's revision, there's faith in that. Moving forward will not be something that is done in a perfunctory manner. It's something that will be done by the moving of the Word of God and the Spirit of faith. That God will quicken and give faith. And that as we know each step we're taking, there will be faith to walk in that step. As in the beginning of this work, Pastor walked in front of a bulldozer to carve out a road and miss all the rock. And if any of you all know about Sullivan County, you know there's rock. And so she walked and made that, but that was a word of faith that dropped in. That was a working of faith. In the building of this property, every piece had elements of faith and prayer and fasting that went into it. And so it will not be just like put us on autopilot and we're going to glide on. It will be dig down into prayer and fasting and hear the word of the Lord and have the spirit of faith. And as God is speaking and moving, we're going to be stepping into those things, and we're going to step into them with confidence of faith. What the Lord has spoken, the word of the Lord that comes, because He is faithful. He is faithful. I just want to share one little thing with you, and then we'll pray together and close, that the Lord spoke to me this week. It was a very precious thing. I shared it in the prayer meeting Friday night, and it comes from Moses, where he said to the Lord, I want to see your glory. He was crying out to God. He was actually getting ready to lead a people. And he was getting ready to lead a people. And in this condition of getting ready to lead a people, he was saying, God, I'm not going if you don't go. Well, let me tell you, any way we go, any directions that any person sets, in your life personally, as a church, as a whole, that should be the greatest cry in our heart. God, if you're not with us, we don't want to go. If your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. If we're not with you and you working in us and dealing with us and bringing us to truth and realities and stirring in us life by the Holy Spirit, who wants to go? I don't want to go. It's like that song, Please, Mr. Custer, I don't want to go. And then you hear the Lord saying, Forward, ho! But so Moses is saying, I want your presence. I got to have you, I got to have you, I got to have you. And the Lord said these words to him. He said, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you. The Lord spoke to me and said, whew, I will make not some of my goodness. You know, when we're all religious and perfect and right and righteous, we get nervous about the goodness of God. God, you might be good to somebody I don't approve of. They did not meet my standard of how you could be good. Or, look, you've been good enough to Judy Wirt in her widowhood. You've been good enough. I think that's enough. She needs to know what it means to suffer. She needs to, like, ferreting out things to realize that God said to Moses, I can't imagine what it would be like, but I believe He's given me the promise that to us as a people, He will make all His goodness, that we will begin to receive. In Colossians, let's just turn to a couple of verses. I want to just turn to a couple of verses. This will not be long. You know that I don't believe in long preaching. Colossians 1:19. Let's see if I can find that in this funny little Bible I found in the usher's closet. Colossians 1, this is how I get my Bibles for preaching. I just scour the church. If you leave a Bible, you may see it up on the pulpit. Colossians 1:19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness of God to dwell in Jesus Christ. Just put a little note on that verse. Write it down somewhere so you can go back and look at it. And then Ephesians 3:19. Turn to Ephesians 3:19. I want to back that up a little bit so it makes some sense. So this is the prayer of the Apostle Paul over the people. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Last week I talked to you about the three points of God. Beginning is love, middle is love, end is love. That you might know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, and that you might be filled up. What does it say in your Bible? To all the fullness of God. He said to them at the Last Supper, he said, the scripture says of him that he longed to reveal to them the full extent of his love. And it is his heart to pour out a fullness of his goodness and of his love. And he is saying, I think it was Brother Robert who gave the word in here, that we would not be ready. Did you say that word over there? You said that word. I have prayed that many times, that we would not be ready. I want to tell you why you won't be ready. Because you won't make this happen. That's the greatest deception, is that you see something and you think you can make it happen. Let me tell you, get on your face before God, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and let him do what he's going to do, because he said, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you. And where are you going to be while that's coming in front of you? You're going to be in the cleft of the rock. You're going to be hidden in Christ. Because we have been placed in Christ. In his resurrection, we were raised up with him, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And in this hidden place, our heavenly Father has spoken to me the word of the Lord. I will make all my goodness pass in front of you if you'll just get yourself in that hidden place. So I want to say it over you, and I want to pray it over you. Let's stand together. Father, we say yes to you. We say yes to what you have for us. We say yes to whatever uncertainties are before us. We don't care, Lord. You're the God of all flesh. Nothing is too hard for you. But we do say this. We're not going to strive and try to make and try to create. And I bind off of us in every direction the spirit of fear. And I declare that fear has no place here. I declare faith is the action of this house, that we are a people of faith and a people of trust, that we are a people waiting on the passing by of the God who promised, I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and that we might be filled with the fullness. We want the fullness, that we might be filled with the fullness. That's not just a fullness where you have, oh, I got a fullness of power. I'm just like shaking and tingling all. It's a fullness of love. It's like that Finney description that I gave you where he said, it went over me like liquid love. And it was like great wings breathing into me the love of God. That God will cause that loving goodness, all of it. He will make it pass before us. And breaking our hearts with his love, we will crawl our way out of how it breaks us into doing what he wants us to do. On any given day, on any given week, we put our whole confidence in you, Father. You're the one who said, I will make all my goodness come in front of you. You're the one who said, I will make, not you, me, I will make all my goodness come in front of you. And there I will say my name. There I will declare my name. There when you hide in the rock and you're in that place where the blood is all around you and your name is covered and your name is in the dust, I will say my name. And we say yes to you, Lord. for yourself personally in your life, for this congregation. Say, yes, Lord. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We receive your reign. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to just intercede in the spirit and pray in tongues here. E Christi alora bossando le di bende di diabilara. Me arassando le di bende le di Christi alora sante le di berobaria. Me assa buono ma lavoro. Avaravara salale andale le abarara. Era monte are di andale di ebrasti. Quano de abidia. Quano de abidia. Eleontora sandole di abidia. Edamantas di astanto. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Sam, would you play some music? And I want to invite you, if you want to just come wait on the Lord, feel free to. Or sit in the sanctuary. Do what you feel free to do. I'm going to dismiss those who need to go, who know that their roast is about to burn down their house. Be free. But if you want to seek the Lord, be free. Be free. Be free. Be free. I bless you with this word. The promise of our Father to make all His goodness pass in front of us, to give us the fullness of His love, that we might be connected into who we already are, seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and that His anointing might increase on us more and more and more as individuals to seek Him with the spirit of prayer strong. I bless you today with the spirit of prayer and supplication. I declare over this house strength to the altar. I declare over this house strength to the altar. Strength to the altar, that God Almighty would make us strong in prayer and raise us up as He sees fit. Thank you, Lord. Let it be written. Let it be done. Be free. Oh, I need to take this off. Thank you, Lord.